Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and I own Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm. If you're new to the podcast, we used to call this the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast, but we rebranded to get a little more emphasis on flower farming in general, not just my farm. However, today I am going to give an update on what our farm looks like because we haven't done that in about a year and a half and things have changed quite a bit. I meant to get this episode out, 2.5 months ago when we hit 100,000 downloads, but it just never quite made sense to put it out yet. And so here we are now. We're well over 100,000 downloads for the podcast and really excited for where things are going to be going. So buckle up. It's going to be a long one, but yeah, I've got a lot of updates to share. So a little bit about our farm. Right now at Sunny Mary Meadow, we have 19 rows that are 60 feet long and 6 feet wide, but we only grow in the middle 4 to 5 feet because there's fabric on the edge. So when you look at how many square feet you grow on, we definitely grow between a fourth and a third of an acre, and that is plenty for us, and it is very manageable. Those are our U-pick rows where you will find a lot of cut and come again flowers. There is a 54-inch space between the rows with grass. It's level. It's perfect for walking on strollers. And the reason it's 54 inches is because that's just enough room for our mower deck and bagger to get through. Now, we use a bagger because we don't want grass clippings all over the flowers and all over the plants. And we want it to look nice and clean and aesthetically pleasing. And that is definitely what sets our U-pick apart from others in the area is just the aesthetic is very good vibes. So anyway, we have 3 rows of zinnias, 2 rows of snapdragons, a half a row each of status, jewels of opar, basil, and then a full row of gomphrena. We have 2 rows of amaranth, 3 rows of strawflower, a half a row of cosmos, 1 row of celosia, and 1 row of scabiosa, and they're just kind of the regular scabiosa. And that's all in our, what I call our U-pick section. So in addition to that, right next to it is our 1,000 peony plants. And then I believe there's 500 blue thistle plants and maybe 150 Veronica plants. So those are laid out in 3 rows that are 18 feet by 120 feet. And of course they have the same grass row in between them. We also, which is 54 inches, we also have 2 high tunnels. Each is 16 feet by 50 feet where we succession plant a lot of different flowers throughout the year. So we start with tulips and ranunculus, followed by lisianthus, eucalyptus, and focal scoop scabiosa. We also will grow orlia and asters in there because they don't do well in the U-pick rows. And since the lisianthus or focal scoops or eucalyptus are such premium flowers, we use those a lot for weddings, or we stick a few in the subscriptions, or we'll let people have them on the stem bars, but we don't want people just free for all picking our lisianthus or doing our eucalyptus wrong or whatever that might be. So we don't put those in the U-pick area. Honestly, my biggest advice is just don't tempt people because they will break the rules every time. People are honestly, I like to think that people are good by nature, but having been in this business long enough, people are naughty by nature. They will try to get away with anything. They say they support small business and they literally steal from you. And so, you know, you might have a recipe on a stem bar and they're like, oh, they won't notice if I take one extra or whatever. And then it ruins the whole count. And so people will break the rules because they think it's not that big of a deal when really it is. So just don't tempt them. If you don't want them cutting something, don't put it down there. Now, I do put my dahlias in the U-pick section. And that's something that's really stressful for me and all of my employees, but I don't let people cut them. We have buckets on the end. We have red flags. We have all these things. And then we have buckets of flowers on there. And it's like, don't pick the dahlias. Don't pick the dahlias. And people, like I said, they just don't listen. They do it anyway. They try and we stop them. We say, hey, I told you 4 times not to pick the dahlias. And what I explain is that I'm like, they're like a hedge. They need to be shaped. They need to be pruned in order to continue to get more flowers. For the most part, you know, snapdragons, zinnias, whatever, I tell them to cut low. We give them instructions. And if they mess it up, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Whereas a couple dahlia plants, if they're cut way too shallow or way too deep or whatever, it could really ruin the succession of subsequent blooms throughout the season. So we do not let other people pick the dahlias. Also, we want to make sure it's clean scissors with our dahlias. We don't want diseases. And, you know, dahlias are a high value flower. You know, you look on, you know, my wholesaler is Lenbush Roses, and florists in my area are paying $5 to $6 a stem for dahlias. I charge, I believe, $3.50 a stem to florists. Maybe it's $4. Depends on the variety. My white balls, I do $3.50 because I have so many of them. But otherwise, I mean, wholesale versus retail, it's just different. And people cannot get a U-pick cup of 10 dahlias in it. And that just doesn't make sense. It's not profitable enough. But they definitely get a couple during their U-pick. And we try to just spread them out. And then, like I said, things like the Lysianthus or the Eucalyptus or the Focal Scoop Scabiosas, I want those for weddings because we do so many wedding designs, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But I need to be able to count on them. I need certain colors, especially the white ones. And I don't want them to all of a sudden all be gone. And Lysianthus, for example, can stay in the cooler for like 2 weeks. So it's just really, you know, keeping things separate. And it honestly just takes a lot of trial and error to know how much of what to grow and where to plant it. But that's what works well for us. We will be pivoting next year based on what our customers want. So next year, my peonies will be in year 3. So we will have blue thistle and Veronica blooming at that time. I planted it new from plugs this year. And then we're planning to reduce the amount of ranunculus that we grow to make room for stock, snaps, and bupleurum inside of the high tunnel because we want them blooming the same time as our peonies, which again are finally in their 3rd year. So my goal is to have a steady flow of blooms from mid-April when the tulips start through late June. During these 2 months alone this year, we moved about $60,000 worth of flowers. Now, I didn't have that amount of sales in those 2 months because some of them were pre-sold in the off season, but that's the volume we're talking. So after that, we slow down on the events from mid-June, and I'm thinking even through like mid-August and then focus on even more dahlias and then ramp up from mid-August through early October. July is just a really hard time to move flowers in Minnesota. People are on vacation. People are gone. Their own gardens are blooming. I just think it'll be a lot easier. And then in addition to the flowers, we also offer Christmas and Thanksgiving centerpieces and porch pots. If you guys took the PPP course or the foundations of PPP, you get access to the private podcast. And I just did a whole episode on a very detailed list of everything that I order wholesale, including pricing of what it costs wholesale, the recipes, the profit margins. So make sure you check out that episode if you have access to it. But that definitely adds a significant amount of revenue to my farm, Thanksgiving and Christmas centerpieces and porch pots. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. I definitely have it down to a science to know exactly how much to grow. This is the first year I haven't had to buy a bunch of flowers from other farmers, for myself at least. We'll get to that in a minute, the farmers to florists. But basically, I crop plan, which means I calculate the number of plants I need each week based on what I know I'm going to reliably sell. I know how many blooms I get per plant per week, what weeks they bloom, and I have a whole spreadsheet detailing exactly what that calculator or what that looks like. And then that is actually my crop planning course. If you go to our website, sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, you can find how to do that, or you can do it on your own. Honestly, like, it took me about 20 hours to put it together. So you can totally do it on your own. It just takes a couple years of experience to know exactly what it looks like. Like, how many stems does a snapdragon produce per week? What weeks is it? And I show you guys how to modify it. But I started just doing it for myself. And then I shared it with a couple people, and they were like, oh my gosh, this is so useful. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe other farmers will find it useful too. So if you have questions about that, you can head to the episode notes. But basically, that has been huge for me this year. I grow exactly what I know we're going to need. Sometimes it's a little like nerve-wracking in the back of your mind, like, oh, do we have enough? But honestly, I'd rather not have enough flowers than to have too many and pay people to weed them and be throwing them in the compost bin and stress about what's not selling, because you can always buy more flowers. There are other flower farmers in the area. You can get wholesale, you can supplement, you can always buy more flowers, but it is extremely expensive and frustrating to be deadheading and throwing flowers in the compost bin, and it's just not a reliable profit margin, at least not for me. That's what I have decided. So I go through this extensively in my Foundations of PPP course, but basically I help you transition your farm into a seasonal operation year round. So subscriptions have been a no-brainer for us. It's about $45,000 annually. And then we have our nursing home sponsorships. We added kids class sponsorships this year. That brings in another like $15,000 to $20,000 total. And then we have our one-off sales, of course. And then we have our stem bars, our U-picks. We sell wholesale to florists through our new website, farmerstoflorists.com. So I buy flowers from local growers so that we have an even wider selection beyond what I grow. And then next year, we'll talk about this in a minute, I'm going to have an opportunity for local florists to buy them in person. We also do tulip bulbs, dahlia tulip, and then dahlia tubers. I've done peony roots in the past. And yeah, we host stem bars offsite and onsite. And then we added weddings this year. So I did 2 weddings last year. And then this year so far, I think I've done 7 or 8, and we have 2 this upcoming weekend, Labor Day weekend, and then we have 2 fairly big ones in September. So between those 2 weddings in September, and they're actually a Friday, Saturday wedding of the same weekend, between those 2 weddings, it's like $7,000 worth of wedding flowers, which is a big deal. We're excited. We're ready for it. We're doing a couple styled shoots in September, and next year we are kind of hitting the ground running. I have a lot of weddings booked already next year. And I did not think we were going to head that direction. When you start a small business, or when I started my small business, I thought that I had to do everything. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm not going to add something I don't want to do because I'm going to get stuck doing it. And while that's true, while there are parts that you might end up having to do a little bit all the time, I realized that I don't have to do the wedding design all the time. And so I actually was approached last year by a friend that worked at a floral shop for 6 years where they did only weddings. And she is so talented. Sydney has been amazing. I have learned so much from her already. And so she's 1099. She comes and does the wedding design. And then my current employees, I've put them through some training on making bouquets, making boutonnieres, making corsages, all of those things. And we've kind of expanded. So we're pretty well ready to go. We are adding all those weddings next year because what I realized was that same snapdragon or peony or whatever it might be, scabiosa, it's like the water bottle saying that it's worth this much in a grocery store. It's worth this much in a convenience store. It's worth this much at the gym. It's worth this much at the airplane. It's the same bottle of water. It's the same thing with flowers. And yes, there's a lot of things that go on in the background, which is why Jenny and I put together the Farmer Florist Boot Camp course. And basically we went through the, you know, having a system in place. So you're not just emailing people back and forth because that can suck the time out of you. But to have standards in place, to have system in place so that you're not, you know, going back and forth all the time and you have a standard way of pricing things so that you can make it profitable from the get-go and you have that cushion in case there's XYZ and knowing how to talk to those brides and knowing how to, you know, keep either their vision in mind or their budget in mind, but you probably can't have both. You're not going to have your vision if you're not willing to compromise your budget, and you're not going to be able to meet with that budget if you're so focused on this certain vision, because fact is, sometimes it just can't be done. And so just learning how to do that. And so we started adding a lot of weddings this year. So next summer, we're going to have, there's probably 20 brides on my list right now that I'm still talking back and forth to, but I know that we have deposits for at least 10 for next summer between early or mid-April through end of September. So I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to be the direction we are going a little more with our farm. So here is some exciting news that I feel like I can softly announce here because this is for the true listeners that stick with us until the end. I haven't announced it on our farm page yet. Some people in the area know about it, but I haven't told a ton of people. And I would say I'm 99% sure that this project is happening, so I'm willing to stick it out there for the world. But we are building a new floral shop and event space, transforming our business into Cut Flower Farm, floral art studio, and event space. So this new space will accommodate up to 80 people. It's going to allow us to host our classes, our courses, and special events. So we're working with the county and the state to get a conditional use permit so we can rent the space out for showers, rehearsal dinners, sports banquets, graduations, corporate events, and we'll have half day and full day rentals. And it's just going to be a really versatile space for the community. You can bring your own caterer, you can bring in food trucks, you know, we're going to have food trucks. Yeah, there's just a lot of things going on. And so if you are on the Private PPP podcast, you've already heard a ton about this project. I walked through everything there. So getting the financing, my business plan, my balance sheet, my profit and loss statements, and how the business will pay for it. Because this is not something that Liz Fidler-Mergen can afford personally, but Sunny Mary Meadow LLC can and needs this because our business needs to continue to grow and expand and adapt. And this is going to make so much sense. So if you guys attended our in-person Flower Farmer Forum conference last year, you might remember the session where Nikki, an egg lender, talked about the importance of bookkeeping and balance sheets. And that's exactly what I did to secure the financing for this project. I felt like I was on Shark Tank. So if you know, I had to explain to them why they should lend me this money and, you know, it's considered a startup loan or, you know, an emerging markets and a growing, because you can't, you know, any other farmer, they can say, well, this is what this is worth and here's the value of it because this is the price of corn or this is the price of beef or this is the price of, you know, here's my contracts and I don't have any contracts. So I had to go through and prove my sales thus far. Here's where we're at. And that is why you can't just run your business off of cash. Like if you want to turn this into something big, you need to record it. You need documents. You need a plan, you need accounting. And that is exactly what Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products will teach you about. Yeah. So if you attended that conference last year, you know exactly what we're talking about. So here's where we stand. I am 99% sure that this is happening. I've got the financing. I've already paid the architect. I have the plan. My contractor is getting the final bids. The septic design is in the works. And unless these final numbers come in way higher than expected, we're moving forward. It has to be paid off in 10 years, but I'm aiming to get it done in 6 or 7. So I am so excited for what this project will mean for our farm. If all goes as planned, we're looking at taking Sunny Mary Meadow from roughly, you know, where we're at. It's going to triple our revenue in that first year. And I know that, you know, people are going to be like, no, that doesn't, you know, that's scary. Trust me, it needs to happen. And I know that, you know, whenever a business goes, you know, 30% more, that's scary or whatever. But trust me, we've paused, we've looked at it. And it's going to reduce so many other expenses. And then my walk-in cooler is going to be triple the size that I have now. So for other florists in the area to come get flowers, it's going to expand our business in so many ways. I've already taken on the help. I've already expanded on staff. Liz isn't getting paid a whole lot this summer from Sunny Mary Meadow because I don't want to say I'm overstaffed, but I've started like bringing in people to expand on that. And I'm really excited. I can continue working on the workshops, the podcast, the courses, the speaking engagements. So there's so much more to come on this project, and you know, the cost of it, the projected revenue, all of that is on the Private PPP podcast. So if you're not already tuned into that, now is the time to join. If you're ever thinking about expanding or growing your farm, I would love to be that mentor to you. You can get that information behind the scenes. You know, you can do one-to-one coaching. You could do consultations about this, but I just think that, you know, not bad for someone. I love the song by Ashley McBride, Girl Going Nowhere. And that's what I feel like with this flower farm. And it's not to prove anything to anyone. It's not to say, you know, look what we did, but we started out as a little farm stand and look what this has turned into, because this is something that the community wants, the community needs. And there's so much more that's going to go into it besides what we already have. But I'm very, very excited for where this is going. And it just makes so much sense for where our flowers are. It's going to have its own parking lot. We're going to quit having people come up to our house. It's going to be so much better. Another update on alternating Fridays. I'm going to be hosting 2 segments for the podcast. There's the Back to Better Book Club and Flower Farmer Forum Friday featured Flower Farmer. So the new Back to Better Book Club, it's its own platform. And then the bonus episodes are going to be pushed to this podcast. And it is a self-help book club, absolutely free. And I'm going to discuss how their lessons can be applied to both personal growth and business growth, because you have to grow as a person if you want to grow as a business. And it's all about empowering ourselves to become better, not just in the work, but in every aspect of our lives. And we unpack the key takeaways, we share thoughts, and I bring in special guests for their highlights. So that's going to be every other Friday. There'll be 2 episodes a month on those books. And then the alternating Friday is the Flower Farmer Forum Friday featured Flower Farmer. So the 7 F's. And that's going to be interviewing a different flower farmer each time. And this is a chance to learn from fellow growers, hear their stories, discuss what's working in their fields, what they do, the offerings they do. And then we explore unique ways to flower farming and challenges they've faced and how they've overcome them. So it's a fantastic opportunity to build community and share knowledge and just connect you to other growers. So I would love if, you know, if I interview someone, you know, in a totally different zone than me that sells things entirely different to me, and maybe you don't relate to what I do on my farm, but you relate to what they do, and you can, you know, message them and reach out to them. But both of these segments are designed to offer those insights, you know, looking to improve on your personal life, your growth on business, or just connect with like-minded people. So tune in for that. And I'm excited. We're going to continue. Next week, we're going to keep doing the Should You Grow This episodes, Is This Flower Right for Your Flower Farm? And yeah, please reach out if you have questions. Reminder, if you've taken the Foundations of Petaling Perishable Products course, the private podcast, you can submit questions. So, you know, I go behind the scenes on like the revenue and the quarters and the statements and all of that for my business. But then we also can do some group questions. So people email in those questions and we go through it. People submit them on the podcast or on the private Facebook group as well. So feel free to connect there. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your season. We've got another 6 weeks or so until frost here, 5 weeks for sure, hopefully longer. We'll see. And yeah, I'm just excited. I can honestly say that this is the first time that I'm not burnt out. Like, I am not burnt out right now. It has been a fantastic season. It has been great, and I'm excited to keep going. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.